The labor market in America is much stronger than expected, but there is some fine print.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Surprising strength turned up in today's employment report for April. 288,000 people were added to payrolls when that number had been running at less than 200,000 in recent months. The unemployment rate fell to 6.3%, and much will be made that this is the biggest drop since before the financial crisis 5 years ago. But April also needs to be seen in the context of January to March. And with that, we turn to Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial. Morning, Chris.
Good morning.
So first of all, the payroll figure is very strong.
Yeah, it's huge. We not only added a lot of jobs this month, but then looking back, upward revisions to the last 2 months as well. So all of a sudden, we're looking at 3 months in a row of more than 200,000 jobs.
And you look at the parallel survey of households, the unemployment rate falls sharply. But what's strange is, Chris, it's a smaller percentage of a smaller pie.
And you don't normally see the payroll survey showing a really enormous gain in jobs, but that's what we got. So here we are, 6.3% unemployment rate, but not the way we like to get to it.
And then how do you reconcile that very weak gross domestic product figure we started the week with, 0.1 annualized growth in the first quarter, then this for April?
So here we've got job growth that, boy, if we keep this up, we could see 4% GDP in the second quarter, put that together with practically zero, and you end up with an average growth rate of 2, which, you know, is sort of the not so great that we've come to know and love in the last 5 years.
Chris Lowe at FTN Financial, thank you very much.
You're welcome, David.
Nevada, New Mexico, Texas, and Arizona, there can only be one or two homes for what is called the Giga Factory. It's a massive battery plant to be built by Tesla. The electric car company says it's narrowed down its choices to 4 states and will prepare to build in possibly all 4. In fact, it won't say which one it'll go with until the very last moment, as Marketplace's Sabri Benishore reports.
Tesla's strategy sounds expensive, but another thing that is expensive is delays.
If there is a timing delay for any reason at all, the costliness of that may in fact be greater.
Jackie Moore teaches marketing at the University of Montana. Tesla wants 500,000 electric cars on the road by 2020, and it needs to move fast. So if something goes wrong in one state, say a regulatory problem, having a ready-to-go backup plan is priceless. And it's a good negotiating tool, says Ben Kalo, senior equity analyst with Robert W. Baird.
These states are out there competing as far as the subsidies and different benefits that they will give Tesla.
And there's one thing Tesla really wants. Charles Hill teaches at the Foster School of Business. He says Tesla wants to sell cars itself, not through dealerships.
And it may be that Tesla picks a state that's initially hostile to that. Texas would be an example, as a way of getting leverage for them to change their policy as well.
The more backup plans you have, the more arms you can twist. I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
Technically, Cinco de Mayo falls on Monday. That is sure what the calendar says, but beer and nacho companies want people to get an early start celebrating over this weekend. But celebrating what exactly? Marketplace's Jeff Tyler considers what Cinco de Mayo means for marketers and consumers.
Many in Los Angeles celebrated Cinco de Mayo last weekend. Tens of thousands of Latinos attended a street fair that big corporations saw as a marketing opportunity, even if their message was a little fuzzy. I spoke to Marie at the Ford booth.
What is the connection between Ford and Cinco de Mayo?
Ford, to me, is about the people, and people need to drive to get around the city, and Ford is a great way to do that.
Marie was struggling there to connect Ford to Cinco de Mayo. She also struggles to understand why it's such a big deal here. As a Mexican-American, she knows May 5th commemorates an obscure battle where the Mexican underdogs defeated the French.
In Mexico, we don't really do Cinco de Mayo. It's more of an Americanized holiday.
In this case, Americanized means commercialized. Festival goers move from line to line, waiting for free samples and gift bags.
We're going to give away one more soccer ball, una pelota más.
A fiesta of freebies from McDonald's and Palmolive and Colgate. Javier Gutierrez is with Morello Group, one of the event's sponsors.
The consumer products companies have been the early adopters of understanding that this is the market that's going to move the needle, and they've really fought hard to create brand recognition.
While some companies try to connect with Latinos, beer companies try to get everyone to party. According to the research company Nielsen, Americans bought more than $600 million worth of beer last year for Cinco de Mayo, more than was sold for the Super Bowl or St. Patrick's Day. Jose Alamillo is professor of Chicano studies at California State University, Channel Islands.
Beer companies have been largely responsible for the commodification of Cinco de Mayo. I mean, they spend millions and millions of dollars in Spanish language advertising.
Alamillo says the beer industry ignores alcohol-related health issues that affect the Latino community. He'd like to see Cinco de Mayo promoted as a history lesson instead of, as critics allege, an excuse to sell booze. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And in this regard, the worst press release I've seen pegged to Cinco de Mayo this time around was flogging an interview with a bad breath expert who would explain why all the spicy food this time of year can hurt your love life. I don't know about you, but my experience is precisely the opposite. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.